Mayor. Tweet at LBC.
In exactly 24 hours and 10 minutes, Donald Trump will no longer be president. Live coverage tomorrow. Live from Washington now, here is Simon Marks's American Day.
Eddie, on this final full day of Donald Trump's presidency, as the sands of the hourglass expire on an utterly abnormal and sometimes terrifying 4 years here, let's at least try to get into the mood, shall we? A Marine Corps band rehearsing for tomorrow's inaugural ceremony is on Capitol Hill, and from the sound of it, needing the practice. That will be the fanfare that rings out across the US Capitol grounds as Kamala Harris prepares to take the vice presidential oath in exactly 24 hours' time. And then, as the clock ticks towards the top of the hour, she'll be followed by Joe Biden in 24 hours, 9 minutes and 20 seconds' time. But who's counting? Donald Trump will be the country's former president. It's hard to know what we're all going to miss the most. Maybe it's his use during his own inaugural address 4 years ago of understated nuance.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Perhaps it's his joie de vivre and bonhomie when batting away unwelcome questions from the constitutionally protected free press.
Don't talk to me that way. You're just a lightweight. Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way. Fine, I'm going to go with another question.
Maybe it's his diplomatic guile and the art of his statecraft that we'll most miss.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
Could it be the respect he's never had for America's traditional allies, especially those who put their own reputations on the line to back him?
I actually told Theresa May how to do it, but she didn't agree with it. She didn't listen to me.
What did she say?
She didn't listen. No, I told her. I did give her my views on what she should do and how she should negotiate. Mm-hmm. And she didn't follow those views. I would actually say she probably went the opposite way.
Perhaps it's his unsolicited marital advice, which last year headed off in an unexpected royal direction.
I wish a lot of luck to Harry, because he's going to need it.
Maybe it's the honesty with which he's never communicated with the American public.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed.
Or could it be the esteem in which the international community does not hold him?
In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
I don't know. More than anything else, it seems that what we may most vividly remember is the insurrection he fomented on the US Congressional Building 13 days ago at a cost of 5 lives, all because he simply couldn't concede that he'd lost a free and fair election.
You know, winning is easy. Losing is never easy. Not for me, it's not.
No kidding. The president is spending the day making final decisions about who to pardon. No member of his family is said to be on the list. The president's son, Donald Trump Jr., said last night that he never asked for a pardon because he doesn't need one. His lawyers, in a few weeks' time, may question the wisdom of that decision. There are also other efforts underway to jam things through over the next 24 hours and 7 minutes, but who's counting? Appointments of people to governing boards of various agencies that the Biden team will need legal help to unpick. Executive orders designed incomprehensibly to lift some of the travel restrictions in place here that the president-elect will immediately rescind. There's ridiculous stuff like the Trump proclamation calling for the creation of a national garden of heroes that is never likely to see the light of day. And then there's the need of senior figures here to say goodbye.
In the midst of hardship, we have seen the best of America shine through.
Melania Trump in a nearly 7-minute farewell to the nation that I watched, so you don't have to.
Students have made cards and delivered groceries to our senior citizens. Teachers have worked twice as hard to keep our children learning. Families have come together to provide meals, supplies, comfort, and friendship to those in need. Be passionate in everything you do, but always remember that violence is never the answer and will never be justified.
Good to know. Be Best is the name of her campaign to improve civil discourse online and in real life. You can be the judge, but it doesn't seem like it's achieved some of its goals, because even Mrs. Trump hasn't had the grace to reach out to Jill Biden, congratulate her on becoming America's next First Lady, and invite her over to the family quarters of the White House for the traditional morning coffee and tour. Joe Biden's daughter Ashley was asked about that on NBC this morning.
As your mom heard from Melania Trump about doing the traditional protocols?
No, I don't think they're doing the traditional protocol, which is unfortunate, but I think we're all okay with it.
Worth noting that the woman doing the asking there was Jenna Bush, one of the daughters of former President George W., who herself graciously and famously showed Barack Obama's two young daughters, Sasha and Malia, around their new home rather than petulantly slinking off before the oath of office was taken. For that is what the Trumps will be doing tomorrow morning, beating a final retreat on board Air Force One to Florida, leaving it to a White House usher formally to welcome the Bidens into their new home after the inauguration. Between the Trumps' departure and the Bidens' arrival, the White House is going to undergo industrial-scale cleaning at a cost of more than $120,000. Everything, the furniture, the carpets, the curtains, the works, it's all going to be sanitized in a bid to ensure that the complex poses no threat of continuing to serve as a COVID-19 epicenter in America. That is not the only cleansing that some here argue is now necessary.
Historically, we will find out who he's beholden to, who pulls his strings.
Hillary Clinton, still smarting over Donald Trump's election win in 2016, spoke last night on her own podcast with Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The two women agreed it's time for a government commission like the one that investigated Al-Qaeda's attacks of 9/11 to find out what Vladimir Putin has got on Donald Trump.
I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day that the insurgents invaded our capital. But we now know that not just him, but his enablers, his accomplices, his cult members have the same disregard for democracy. Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
I do. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally. But what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world. And these people, unbeknownst to them maybe, are Putin puppets. They were doing Putin's business when they did that at the incitement of an insurrection by the President of the United States. So, yes, we should have a 9/11 commission, and there's strong support in the Congress to do that.
There will be no shortage of investigations, at least three already getting underway in the committees of Congress, into the invasion of the Capitol building and the events leading up to it. And of course, the ongoing criminal investigations into the president's business empire in New York. He's also got an impeachment trial to worry about in the Senate. If it happens, and it could start later this week, he'll need a lawyer. And so far, he doesn't seem to have found one. Joe Biden arrives in this fortress-like city later today. He and Kamala Harris will attend a ceremony that will, for the first time in history, light up the reflecting pool that sits at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial here, a commemoration of the 399,000 Americans who have lost their lives to COVID-19. That, along with the 200,000 flags now displayed on the National Mall, is an indication that, as far as the pandemic is concerned, the national conversation is about to change. Starting tomorrow, Dr. Rochelle Walensky will be Joe Biden's newly appointed head of the Centers for Disease Control.
We need to reset the stage here. We need to make sure that the country, the people understand that this pandemic is now going to be addressed with science, with trust, with transparency, with communication of exactly where we are to the American people.
That will certainly be a change. But there are millions of people out there who won't cooperate with that effort and who believe that Joe Biden is about to become an illegitimate president here. They are buying into the lies they've been sold by President Trump. Within the last few minutes, we've learnt that after another round of security vetting, two members of the National Guard are being relieved of their duties protecting the inauguration because it's been found they have ties to pro-Trump right-wing militias. While the Pentagon says no plot was uncovered to disrupt the inauguration, that news will raise fresh fears about what lies ahead here. For, in concrete terms, the blast barriers, the security fences, and the armour that now protects this city is unlikely to melt away as the cadences of Joe Biden's inaugural address ring out tomorrow across the Capitol grounds. He's got a job ahead of him like no other president in modern history, a pandemic, an economic crisis, and now the threat of a violent domestic insurgency. And he knows, Eddie, that even with the lowest approval ratings of any departing American president in modern history, Donald Trump, now in just under 24 hours, has no intention of going quietly.
Simon Marks is American Day. Simon back with us tomorrow, of course, part of our coverage of the inauguration. We start at 4.